Acts chapter 12, verse 25. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So, after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They travelled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind. For a time you will be unable to see the light of the sun." Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord.
Can you hear me? Great. Just to say, it's really lovely to be back. A lot's happened in the last 2 years, but it's really lovely to be back and really lovely to sing with you. That's actually the first time that I've sung in church since COVID began, so it really means a lot. It's really lovely to be here with you all. Shall I just pray quickly once again before we start? Father God, thanks so much for Grace Church Kidlington. Thanks for the time that we have together today. Please still me, still our hearts together as we open your word and hear what you have to say to us now. Amen. So you're in a rickety boat. You've just left a huge, thriving church behind in Antioch. And looking ahead, as you kind of rock back and forth, you can see the shores of Cyprus coming gradually closer. What might be going through your mind? Put yourselves in the shoes of Paul or Barnabas. If you were them, if you were embarking on a journey like this, what might be going through your mind? How might you be feeling? What things might you be telling yourself right now? It's probably a mix of things. There's some good things that you can tell yourself. On the one hand, you're journeying, you're starting your journey with the knowledge that God has sent you. You know that the Spirit spoke to you and chose you for this journey. That's probably giving you hope. God's on your side, and you're probably mulling over what things you're going to say, what the message is that you've been sent with. And you're realizing it's a great message. It's a fantastic message. It's the message that brings life. You're going to spread the message of Jesus. Jesus, who's changed your life completely, is about to go out to more people. More people are getting to hear the good news. It's big. It's huge. But on the other hand, you also know that you're going to ruffle feathers. because the message that you're going to bring is outrageous. It's going to be outrageous for many people to hear. It's going to cause many people to become very angry. It might even cost you your own life, because they're realizing that they're actually going to go and they're going to march up to Jewish synagogues, Jewish leaders, and Roman leaders and proclaim that Jesus is king. They're basically going to stand up and say, Jewish leaders, all your religious practice, all your religiosity is wrong. It's worthless. All that matters is faith in Jesus. And actually, anyone, not just Jewish people, anyone can be part of God's family. Or they're going to march up to Roman leaders and say, hey, Roman leaders, you're not in charge. Your military might means nothing. Jesus, who you killed, well, he's alive. And guess what? He's all that matters. Those things would be absolutely shocking to the Pharisees and the Roman leaders. And right, quite rightly, Paul and Barnabas could be fearing for their lives. But they're choosing to keep on. They're choosing to keep on following the Spirit where he's leading. Because Paul and Barnabas know what they're part of, know what's going on in the world. They know that they're part of something much bigger that the Spirit is doing, that Jesus' mission. They knew what Jesus is doing right now in the world. They knew why the Spirit was leading them this way. Actually, chapter 13, we're at quite a huge moment in the story of Acts, where we're at a key step for Jesus building his church, Jesus spreading the good news out to the ends of the world. This is the first missionary journey. It's the start of the good news going beyond Jerusalem, going to the ends of the earth. You can think of the end of Matthew's gospel. You might have heard the Great Commission. There's a verse at the end of Matthew chapter 28 that says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. And that's what's happening now. This is the start of the huge mission, of the turning point in history. So the mission began with Paul and Barnabas, but it continues today. It's the gospel has reached us here in England in 2021, but Jesus is still going out. The mission is still going on. The gospel's still going out to the world around us. The mission's the same and the message is the same. So the message would have been prickly for the Romans and the Jewish leaders, but to the world today, to say that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, that all that matters is faith and love in him, following him, that's the only way to peace or to security, or you know, acknowledging that we're flawed, we're steeped in sin, we're not capable of morality, peace. To say that to the world, that's actually huge. It's still shocking to the world around us, to cultural movements, to just the average person in Kidlington who's working hard, trying to earn money, trying to pay their bills, look out for their family. That's a shocking message that we still bring today. So that's probably where this account in Acts, this story in Acts 13 is going to be really helpful for us today. The message is still as shocking. And actually, the mission is still quite hard. It's still as hard as the opposition that Paul and Barnabas faced. We will face opposition today as we carry out that mission too. So for you guys in Kidlington, for me in Headington, well, the similarities are there. For you in Kidlington, Grace Church Kidlington, you're a young church plant. I'm not sure whether I should compare Woodstock Road Baptist Church to Antioch, but you know, you've been sent out by a bigger church. You've been prayed for, you've been built up, and now you're here, and you're seeking to help people. You're seeking to reach out to the community, share Jesus' love and truth with them. And you're a few years into that. And the question is, how does it feel at the moment? How's it going? I really don't want to put words in your mouth, but I don't want to presume anything, but I'm going to guess that there's things that are quite hard. It might feel at times, it definitely feels for me in Headington and for us as a church in Headington, it feels like there are things that are working against you in that mission. There are things that are hard in seeing that mission through. For Paul and Barnabas, it was Elymas. There was quite an active opposition in this example. It was Elymas, the sorcerer, really clearly trying to whisper into Sergius Paulus, the proconsul's ear, saying, don't listen to them. It was a really active opposition to their message. But perhaps for us, Or for you in Kidlington, it maybe feels a bit more background. You feel like, you know, we're small in number in Oxford. Work is busy. COVID's been exhausting. Family life can be hard. Being single can be hard. There are loads of really valid, difficult things in life which make this mission harder. And, you know, I'm a perfect example. I'm a student. I'm 24. Many would say that life's pretty easy when you're 24. It should be, at least. I don't have a family to look after. I've been studying. That's okay. But at times, this mission, this Jesus mission, building church mission, is the last thing that I want to think about because I'm exhausted. COVID's been really hard. Mental health's been tested. Studying on a screen on Zoom is just boring. And it kind of drags you down, doesn't it? So it could be a background opposition that we're facing, or it could be something a bit more direct and a bit more fierce than that. It could be other people groups in Kidlington who don't like that you're here. It could be people with views that Christianity is antiquated, is outdated, is oppressive, something like that. It could be other religious groups who don't like Jesus. It could be atheists saying, you know, you're wrong, this is insane, this is nonsense. Why are you here in Kidlington? I'm really not sure. But I do think that this account that Luke included in the book of Acts is there for a reason. It's there, and it can help us as we go out into our communities, just as it helped, just as, you know, Paul and Barnabas going out, spreading the gospel in Acts in that day. So as we jump in, do have that question in mind. What will help the missional church when it faces opposition? That's the question today. What will help the missional church when it faces opposition? What will help us when we feel up against it, when there are barriers to sharing Jesus, and when it feels hard to do that church-building thing? And just to say, some of you might be here today exploring more about who Jesus is, about Christianity, about whether this is all true. You know, do listen to this as well. There's an encouragement for you here, actually, too. It's encouragement to keep going with your questions. It's encouragement to listen to what the Bible has to say through all the other things in life that demand attention. But for now, Acts 13, what will help us when we face opposition? I've got two things for you today, two things that will be helpful to remind yourself in the coming days, weeks, two things to remember, two things to see. So, one, know that the Spirit leads. And two, know that the Spirit succeeds. So know that the Spirit leads, know that the Spirit succeeds. First of all, know that the Spirit leads. If you've got Bibles in front of you, please do look down at them and look at me at two verses from this chapter, verse 2 and verse 4. I'll read them out for us. So verse 2, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And verse 4, the two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. So the first thing for us to see is that this is all the Spirit. It's really direct, actually. Quite literally, the Spirit speaks and the Spirit leads them. So the Spirit speaks to them. A voice calls Paul and Barnabas and gets the church to get them ready to go. And then the Spirit leads them. The Spirit sends them to Seleucia, tells them where to go, get in a boat, sail to Cyprus. The Spirit gives them a really clear message of what to do and of how to do it. And they were expecting this. I know your series in Acts started in chapter 12 last week, but if you have time, look up chapter 1 at some time, and you can read about Jesus promising his followers, the apostles, that the Spirit will be sent to them. Quite literally, the Spirit was going to be sent to them to be their power, the force that enables them to witness for Jesus. So in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, Jesus says to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That verse is almost a bit like a mission statement. You will be my witnesses to all the ends of the earth, but only with the Spirit giving you power. Really, it's the Spirit that's leading Jesus' mission. The Spirit is the power in them, working on earth to bring the reality of Jesus to everyone. And like us, Paul and Barnabas, they had the backing and support of their sending church, of church leaders and teachers, of helpers. It says they had John Mark with them. But it's the Spirit who's guiding them. It's the Spirit who sends and leads and speaks to them. So Paul and Barnabas and the other church leaders there in Antioch, I think they model to us a really clear willingness to follow the Spirit. They had faith in Jesus. The Spirit came upon them, was changing them, and they understood the mission at hand, and they were willing to follow God's direction by the Spirit. They were fasting. They were worshiping. They were ready to hear the Spirit's voice. But us today, we might kind of think, well, what about us today? That feels a bit foreign to how we do things as a church. That feels a bit foreign to us now. I'm not sure that's how we often collectively kind of experience the Spirit. We as a church don't tend to fast. We're not used to a voice booming down on us and telling us what to do in our next mission. Sometimes we might want that. Sometimes we might feel a bit unsure of what direction to go as a church, what events to host in Kidlington, what we should do next to be missional, looking out to their community. We might love a voice to say, do this, go there, host this event, especially when we are aware of churches are full of different people with different skills and ideas and strategies and gifts. For a church with a church life with a missional focus, sometimes we might want it to be a bit more explicit like this, and it doesn't feel that way. I think that's true. The pattern of how God speaks to us and guides us today is a bit different than what's shown here. And I would really encourage you to talk to Phil sometime if you've got more questions about that. But that's not really the point of the story. Rather, Luke has kind of written it down, he put it in Acts for us, because he's simply showing us a point. He's showing us that it's the Spirit's work, not ours. It's the Spirit's direction that we follow. It's kind of there to almost put us in our place. It's to remind us that God's in control. And so when we're planning together or sharing ideas post-COVID, thinking, how do we get back? How do we best reach out into Kidlington? Well, we can be assured that we have everything that we need, because Jesus promised that we wouldn't be left on our own. And there's a bit of John's Gospel, chapter 14, which is really great for this point. It's a bit where Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and what he says to them is true of us today. So listen to this. This is John chapter 14. This is Jesus speaking. The Father will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. Jesus is saying that the Spirit, well, is in us. It's true of us today. The Spirit's working in us today. And in that chapter, Jesus goes on to reassure his disciples that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send to you in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. That's Jesus saying that the Spirit will be with you as you go out on the mission. The Spirit equips us for the same mission, equips us, helps us to remember Christ, to remember Jesus and what he did on the cross. It helps us, the Spirit, he helps us read God's word. He works in us and grows us together in wisdom. He helps us make godly choices through that, in that way. He helps us make wise choices of where to go, what events to host, how to best reach out to Kidlington. Because it's the Spirit working, it's the Spirit leading, and that's really good news. We can remember that. It'll help us rise up over those oppositions to the mission, because we can remind ourselves that we can trust the Spirit who leads. We can trust the Spirit with the resources that we have, or the opportunities that we find, or the position that we're in today. It means that we don't need to sit in worry of the unknown or be paralyzed by unsureness, because we can just trust that truth that the Spirit leads. And that kind of brings us to the second point. The second half of the story shows, well, because we know that the Spirit leads, we can look forward to the day when the mission is complete, has been seen through to completion. So the Spirit leads. Point two, the Spirit succeeds. We can trust God because the Spirit won't be held back in bringing that message to the ends of the earth. So if you look down at the story again, I'm going to kind of say it in my own words, but Sergius Paulus, the Roman leader, the Roman proconsul, hears about Paul and Barnabas, hears that they have a message and wants to hear it. It's piqued his interest. He wants to hear from them. What an opportunity. But one of the proconsul's attendants, the sorcerer Elymas, tries desperately to turn his master's ear away from them. Maybe Elymas felt threatened for his position, or maybe he was unsure of Paul and Barnabas's motives, or maybe he was just downright evil. But you can imagine it, can't you? You can imagine him scrambling, whispering in his master's ear, "Master, master, this is nonsense. Don't listen to them. These men have empty words. They're just after your position, master." And Paul, filled by the Spirit who leads, calls out clearly the sorcerer for what he's doing, calls out his empty words, his deceitful motives, his refusal of the truth. "You're a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord?" It's quite extreme language. "You're a child of the devil." And then the blinding. I think that's even more extreme. I don't know how you react to that. I was a bit kind of... But the point again is being made loud and clear. Because the result of that was that the proconsul, the Roman leader, believed. The Roman leader was amazed and believed. The Spirit succeeded and overcame the sorcerer. It took this sign, that the blinding, to overcome Elymas. It took that sign to show that the Lord was more powerful than the sorcerer, than the magician. That was how God worked in this situation to succeed in this person. That's what it took for the message of Jesus to become true in Sergius Paulus's heart. And for Elymas, it was a massive warning. When I was reading it, it kind of reminded me of Paul being blinded, or Saul then, now Paul. But after he was blinded, he repented, he came to Jesus. We don't know how Elymas responded, but regardless, this is a warning. It's a warning to those who actively try to oppose the gospel. It's really clear, the Lord is against them. They are not on the winning side. And it's because the Spirit will succeed. Acts is full of little milestone marker verses that show us, that prove to us that this was true then, it's true now. If you just look at chapter 12, the verse straight before this passage today, verse 24, it says, "But the word of God continued to spread and flourish." And there are loads of other verses all through Acts of thousands of people becoming Christians, the message reaching them. They know that Jesus is alive and good, that the mission is working. Loads of people choosing to follow Jesus. So what does all this mean for us? For those of us here in Kidlington, those of us, me and Headington, all of us on that mission, the Paul's and Barnabas mission. The question is this an example to follow? And I'm not so sure. I think it's, again, that a point is being made here. Not that we should copy this scenario. It's not really saying you should start regularly calling people the child of the devil or whatever. it is saying that we should stand against evil, clearly. And it is saying that God will overcome those who oppose his gospel. And on that note, I think we are growing in Christ. The Spirit's leading us. The Spirit's growing us in wisdom, gentleness. We're being led by the Spirit in that way. And that means that we can prayerfully choose how to act in ways that are appropriate to the oppositions that we face at a particular time. But rather, I think the point being made here is, again, simply something to remember, something to see. It's that the Spirit will succeed, because that's the pattern. It's good for our hearts when we feel small or when we feel weak, when we feel like our church life isn't making a difference. Well, we can remember that the Spirit will succeed in bringing the gospel to the ends of the earth. So we are small, we are weak, but as part of the Spirit's worldwide mission, we're not insignificant, because it's his work. It's the Spirit leading, and the Spirit will succeed. So the question is, how do we help each other through that opposition? Through tiredness, through that feeling of smallness, through distractions? How do we help each other listen to each other's ideas and strategies for, you know, reaching out to the community? How do we help each other get over sins or things within that are barriers to the mission, that are opposition to us? Or how do we cope with people who are making it hard for us, who are opposing the gospel? Well, we can remind each other who is strong, and we can remind each other who is seeing the mission through. It's the Spirit leading, the Spirit will succeed. And to those of us who are in Sergius Paulus' position, those of us who are seeking, who are maybe asking questions of Christianity, well, actually, this is a word of encouragement, because life is full of different messages and different philosophies and different things that are vying for our attention. Different people saying very different things. And life is full of responsibilities and needs. But this passage is kind of saying some of those things might be trying to stop you from listening to the gospel, to listening to this. So it's an encouragement to all of you that, you know, now is the time to ask those questions. It's important to ask those questions now, because you have the opportunity now. But for all of us, I think this passage does give us things to mull over about the nature of the church and mission, about the Spirit, about how the Spirit helps us as we all respond to Jesus and his message of life as we bring that to the world. So today, as we go out, as we chat after the service, ask some of those questions. Ask each other, how do you know that the Spirit leads? What in your life has shown that to you? What gives us confidence that the Spirit will succeed? Actually, I think one really good verse for us to take away is that verse from the end of Matthew again, that Great Commission verse. I'll read the whole thing now, and it will do us good, because it actually says that very what this passage next says too. Let me read it. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Let me pray now. Father God, thank you so much for this passage in Acts. Thank you that it shows us really clearly how your Spirit worked in the lives of the church in Antioch, bringing the message to all the ends of the earth. Thank you that helps us today as that mission continues, as we in our churches seek to bring the message, the good news of Jesus, to our communities around us and to the ends of the earth. Please would our relationship with the Spirit who you've given us, who's inside us when we become Christians, please would that become even clearer to us as a result of reading your word. Please would that fill us with confidence that the Spirit leads and the Spirit succeeds. Please would that, you know, help us really trust you, knowing that you will see that mission to completion. Amen. Thank you.